Welcome to the EAU podcast series. Start Smart, EU Acme for Young Urologists. In this third episode, Revalidation and Lifelong Learning, we rejoined by Professor Marek Babduk, Associate Professor Juan Luis Vasquez, Professor Giorgio Ivan Russo, and Dr. Loic Baikalant. Together, they will explore the importance of maintaining competencies in a rapidly evolving field. They reflect on revalidation, future career development, and the value of adopting a lifelong learning mindset. Join us as we embark on this informative journey.
Hello, guys. I hope you are having a nice evening. And it's a huge pleasure for me to introduce Marek Babduk, a well-known professor from the Czech Republic. And we will continue our conversation on the EU CME, and we were going to talk about revalidation and lifelong learning, which is a very important topic. And my name is Juan Luis Vasquez, and I'm the chair of the Young Urologist Office. And together with me, it's Giorgio Russo and Loic Baikalant from the Netherlands, from Belgium and Italy.
Hi guys, this is Giorgio from Catania. Happy to be here for this third podcast with Marek, you and Loic, understanding how this process is going through. And it's a pleasure.
Good evening, everyone. Loic from Belgium. I'm the current chairman of the ESRU and also happy to look into how we can use the system for lifelong learning as a urologist.
Hi, gentlemen. It's great to see you. And, you know, I am definitely the oldest one in this group. So tell me, you are on the beginning, on early part of your career. You have still a long urological life in front of you. So is lifelong learning important for you?
Yeah, I would like to say, first of all, our audience are not seeing us, but we actually see each other in the video. And Marco, do you still have your hair? I can say that
less than I used to have, you know.
And yeah, I have to say revalidation, it is important, because being a urologist is, I mean, everything is under evolution. Things are changing. And at times like this, things change very quickly. But from the EU ACME perspective, why, and I want you to convince me, why is it important?
Yeah, you know, I think it is not just the question of EU ACME. It is the question of your professional career, how really updated you will be in your knowledge, in your skills, when you are already the specialist. And you know how fast the medicine is changing today, the approach. Of course, as I mentioned, I'm more or less on the end of my career and close to the end of my career. And I remember I had to learn three times how to do radical prostatectomy, you know, first with open, then with laparoscopy, then with robotics. And it was important. And, you know, today potentially also changed the indications for the surgery. And you must be oriented in that. So there is no question that you need to learn during whole your career. The question is, and this is already the question of UACME and EBU maybe, is whether this should be somehow proven, whether you should demonstrate the proof that you really participated on educational activities, and how you can demonstrate that. And the next point is how the EU ACME can help you with that, you know, to really be able, if you're, I don't know, in your country, they ask you, okay, demonstrate me that you are really learning during your career, then you show the report from EU ACME and show, okay, you know, I participate on these events, on this training, and so on.
Do you have credits in Denmark? One?
Oh, you're getting into the very provocative part. So I see where you're going, Giorgio. So okay, I will play the devil's advocate. I am a young urologist in Denmark, and in Denmark we do not need this. It's not required. It's not that we don't need it, but it's not required. Our employers are not asking us for showing how many credits we have accumulated throughout a year. Universities are not doing that either. Marco, then I have to ask you, would there be an advantage for Scandinavia or not some people from Northern Europe of doing this? even though it's not required by employers, universities, or hospitals.
I understand that, but your universities or your employers or your reimbursement system may change, you know, and in the future. And so you never know from politicians how they change their approach in the future. So this is one point. Another point is that this is your career. You know, you would like to develop your career, and here you track your activities. As we already had in previous podcast mentions, you have it in the clear system and in the form which is acceptable for anybody whom you would like to demonstrate your activities. But, you know, let's say in Czech Republic, it is interesting because if you provide the medical care as a specialist, you demonstrate lifelong learning activities, and there is a given number of credits that you need to present, then you have slightly better reimbursement for what you are doing. You know how the life is. You receive the email from the medical chamber that your certificate is on the end, and you need to provide the proof that you really participated on educational activities in last 5 years. And then you just do one click from EU-ACME and you can show it up. Yeah.
It's very interesting, Juan and Mark, because, for example, in Italy, we are obliged to do credits, and we need 50 credits per year. So we have to collect 150 every 3 years. They reset. And obviously, we are in Italy, and in some other parts of Europe, sometimes no one is controlling us and everything is passed. But for example, last year, I started a collaboration with the private clinic, doing only private patients, and they asked me the credits. And if I had not the credits, I could not operate and even collaborate with that clinic. And since we are building a network of orthopedics, other specialties, they have difficulties because they don't have the credit to be completed and have some problems. So I think it's very interesting that when we deal about credits, we are understanding about Europe, that sometimes countries are different. And obviously, the ACME can help different countries in different ways, obviously. It's not only something about career, but it's only something that we are obliged to do. I don't know, in Belgium, Loic, do you have this kind of strategies and administrative requirements?
In Belgium, on a national level, as a resident, during your training, you have to reach a certain amount of points. You can also use your European points. It doesn't have to be in the Belgian system itself. But maybe also a question to provoke a bit this discussion. Do you think we need accreditation points for to support patients' safety as a neurologist or not?
I don't think necessarily that credits will make patients' safety higher. It will always be very much about the doctors. You can still go to a congress and have the credits for going to a congress, but you can, by going to, let's say, to the annual congress, and then you just go for drinking beers and then tourism, you will still get the accreditation. So it's a problem, and it's always about your self-conscious. And there are other things like soft skills, communication. How do we do accreditation for that? And now I will bring something that is very close to my heart, because the Italian incubator, it is accredited.
And yeah, that was my question, Juan, if the tip was credited. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, but I think it's very important, because it means that what you are building up is accredited, is validated, is something that is not only related to science itself, but only what we act when we are approaching patients, when we are approaching colleagues, something that is not really, to say, touchable, but it's accredited. So this is the reason why it's important to have credit, I think. Marek, we have different kind of credits in terms of, for example, scientific or not scientific or whatever, say building network, or everything is in the same, to say, box. I don't know if I explain myself. For example, the talent incubator is something not really related to urology, but it's related to activities that we need when we wake up by the end, by the beginning of the day until the end, approaching ourselves to the others, and then become also a leader. Do we have differentiation of credits on the basis of the activity or not?
I don't think so in this moment. But, you know, of course, the education and the way how we educate young doctors today and all doctors, in fact, is changing. You know, there are new ways of how you can learn some skills like the training boot camps and so on and so on. And of course, the role of this accreditation system is to try to really keep development in this area and include that in all accreditation system, even these new tools that we are using.
Yeah, it's something related to career growth during our lifelong activities. But I think it's very important, for example, for becoming a leader, chairman of an office. I think it's also important to achieve different parts of our career. And one is one of the best for that, for the tip. And I think that having this accredited into the system is very important. And having the possibility to look at that when you apply for something, a CV, I think it's crucial or not one.
There is no doubt that lifelong learning, it is important. I mean, things change very fastly and we need to adapt. But Marco, from your perspective, do you see any difference in the interest of registering these things from the younger, from the residents, from the younger list and to for the more seniors? Is there any difference there?
Yeah, we see a large activity of junior members, for instance, in MCQs. Answers, for instance, in reading the journal. This is mostly done by junior members more often than already urological specialists. This is definitely the difference. Of course, junior members are still very motivated to pass the exam and be successful in their career. So there is a difference, and we see it in the registration, in the points between the junior members and the members.
Because this goes back to, again, to what I was saying, that indeed, lifelong learning is very important, but the credits, in my opinion, is not what makes you learn. But it is a very nice tool to keep a record of what you've been learning in order to show it to your employer or to whoever that needs to be shown to. So it will always be a balance. And I think this is a very nice advantage for EAU members to have this possibility to have a full record of all your activities.
You know, the point, of course, I fully agree that one point is your individual career and your honesty that you really will do a good job and how to register that in the system, how to evaluate that. Of course, now is the EBU, which is organizing the FIBU exam, is coming with the idea of revalidation. So who would like to use the title of FIBU will have to demonstrate some lifelong learning activities during his career later to be able to use the system. And of course, our EU-ACME or MyCME will help all of them to register their activities in the easiest way. And this is, I think, the benefit for our members, also benefit for EAU members, to be true.
I also think, like Juan, you also mentioned, you can go to a congress and just count your points. But I think with EU-ACME, it's also about quality and about having an overview of the events with certain quality that are accredited on a European level. So that is also really nice to have, I think.
Yeah, because we, for instance, register or the accreditation cannot receive the activity which is fully influenced by industry, for instance. It, of course, fulfills all standards of education.
Maybe to go a bit further also, because I may be the youngest one in here. What is the future of this program? How do you see it within 10 years or even further?
Yeah, who knows what will be the medicine in 10 years, you know? And of course, the limitation here, as was you demonstrated in your answers, is the heterogeneity of the educational system and the organization of healthcare system between European countries. But medicine will improve. It will be completely different in 10 years, I'm sure, you know, with new methods, new drugs, new approaches, and so on. So we definitely, I can promise, we will do our best that the whole EU-ACME system will try to be as flexible as possible to respect these changes and register new teaching activities and it will be definitely the teaching will be more individual, more precise, and so on. And we will do our best that the system will stay at least as flexible and friendly for users as it is now.
I think it's like having something transparent so we can construct our professional identity inside the ACME. And it's what we reflect to the others also. And I think it's very nice also to motivate ourselves to be every time, every to collect these credits, also attend meetings, very importantly, but also not forget that something that we cannot collect is the network that we create with other colleagues, in which we cannot collect credits, but we collect friends. And having a beer, as you said, Juan, as before, maybe we can put some logo and stamp of a beer that we have with different guys and friends all of Europe. And then I think it's more important sometimes to have beer with friends, but also credit. I don't want to joke, but sometimes a beer is much more important than the credit itself, because they create the network and then friendship and also mutual relationship that we have, sharing ideas, sometimes problems.
I think you're going into something extremely important, George, and I'm so happy that you brought it up, because the network that you can get from the EAU and all the EAU activities is also definitely something that can help you build up your career and actually stimulate your career. And Marco, maybe for the future, you need to put some credits into the beers that we get into all these communications and all these networking activities that we do.
Yeah. We can write a logo every 10 beers that you have with friends. We have one credit. In Denmark, in Italy, we drink anyway wine much more than beer. But every 10 beers, we can put this logo on the Yao also.
Double your credits when you drink something with friends.
It's fair. You know, my proposal is to call it not credit by beer it or beer a bit.
Yeah. That's very, it's very joking logo. Yeah,
I will think about that and make you a proposal. Yeah.
Could be something about collaborations and establishment of networks, and that could be something for the future.
Definitely, it is very important. And if our validation system will be helpful in that to bring people together, it will be my greatest pleasure. Not just important the goal, but also the way how you achieve that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Marek.
Thank you.
It was very interesting and provocative for some parts, also funny for the last parts.
I have to say that I think it was very enriching to talk with you guys and discuss about this. Also to play the devil's advocate. It's nice. And I think the conclusion that we got to is really, really an interesting one and a very important one. I'm very happy for these last three podcasts, and it was nice discussing with you. And I'm going to see you in London, I guess.
Yeah, see you for a beer, obviously.
Definitely. And that will be the first point, right? The first square.
That will be first beer. It was beer at it for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for this insightful episode. We are sure our listeners enjoyed it. To keep up with the latest EAU podcasts and stay informed on the urological advancements, be sure to subscribe to our EAU podcast channel on your favourite podcast app. Until next time, keep learning and stay inspired.